Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, it is, what is it now? It is Tuesday night, right, Ashley? I'm like, because I was on last night, and now I'm on tonight. And so I want to welcome you to the Paula Price Show. And nope, it's the wrong show. It's ABCs of Apostleship Night with Dr. Paula Price, Discipling Apostolic Christian. I got it. Hi, Periscope. Hi, Facebook. And hi and bless you, Blog Talk Radio. I thank God for Blog Talk, Ashley, because we've been with them a long time. And I'm rejoicing over Periscope and Facebook. I am getting a growing family. We're growing. And we're stretching out. And God is doing some amazing things. But how many of you know that when God starts doing amazing, the enemy starts acting crazy? See, he leaves us crazy when God gets amazing. So we as saints have got to be good at understanding that and knowing that that comes with the territory. Paul said, a great and effectual door has been opened to me and many adversaries. When God opens a great door to the church, and for the church, for his people, guess what? The door to the adversary grows proportionately because those people don't want to be put out of their seats. They don't want you in your seat. They don't want you praying. They don't want to have to unwind or go back and redo or lose the ground that they've gained. I'm speaking now as an apostle, an apostle to the body of Christ, but also the apostle to the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight you're going to enjoy it. You're going to enjoy tonight, and you're going to enjoy Thursday. I thought I'd just get you, just whet your appetite, because Thursday I am going to deal with the Huffington Post article about the Bible and Christianity and Kim Burrell. So you don't want to miss Thursday's show because we're going to have a blast. Write it down because you want to tell all of your friends. We are going to walk through their version of the scripture because it should be a Christian that does that. It should be an apostle because, well, doctrine for the church began with apostles. And so we're going to walk that article. You don't want to miss it. If you didn't get it, listen, if you have somebody that you don't think that, pass it off because we're going to do it. However, tonight, we are going to do what we've been doing on Tuesday night, and that is developing you and educating you as apostolic Christians. Very important that we understand what that is. I don't think it's a mistake that apostolic Christianity was set in motion before we got here as a country. And God enabled me to help you see things differently and to see things God's way and to be prepared for the great adversaries that we're going to open up when he opened the world to his church again. And I'm telling you, God opened the world to his church. You're going to love this, so make sure you tell everybody, get on board, share, tell people, share. We're going to talk about the clash between the gates of hell and the gates of heaven. We're going to talk about the clash, because there's a clash. Tell somebody in your room, oh boy, she's going to go there tonight. Yes, she is. I'm all excited. Jesus is excited. You know, God spent 30-something years making me. Can you imagine 30-something years? Man, that's enough to grow a tree. Hallelujah. A good tree, a sturdy tree. He spent 30-something years making me, putting me through the fire, breaking me. And I'm not the only one, but since I'm the one talking tonight, I'll mention me. I'm sure all of you out there have a similar story. Put me through the fire, put me out front, snatch me to the back, lift me up, yank me down, put me forwards, pull me back, open me up, shut me down, roll me over, left me for dead, raise me up again, crush me as powder, mix me like dough. It was wonderful and it was agonizing, but it produced this. That's why he's my sugar pie Jesus. You know, I from one day, I said to God, I said, oh, God, how you say he likes it? He likes being a sugar pie Jesus. He loves it because he's a good God, and he needs us to know that. Well, and I'm touching you tonight because apostolic Christians, You are being called to arms. You are being told to get on guard. Get on guard, and you need to be ready. They are doing what they've always done. They are taking our Bible and telling us how it doesn't fit. They're taking our Bible and telling us what they think. Well, I just want you to understand that Christianity didn't begin with the Bible. Let's talk about that. Christianity did not begin with the Bible. That's what we're going to talk about. And if you don't know my teaching on that, I have a couple of resources for you. Number one, you can go back and listen to the old Periscopes or Facebooks. They're posted somewhere. You can go back and listen to those. Number two, I have what I call apostolic prophetic theology, where we talk about all of the things that they claim the Bible doesn't do, can't do, won't do, can't accomplish. I did it 30-something years. I ought to come up with a book. I should have came out with a Bible. But bless God, since he's got a lot of those, we'll let him let those he has run. And then we have this book that I will be reading from shortly. I'm going to read from Unit 6, so go get your book while I'm talking. We're reading from Unit 6, and this is the ABCs of Apostleship, Discipling Apostolic Christian. And so it's important. Book 2, there's a book 1 up there, and this is book 2. Yes, I am excited. Yes, I am on fire. And yes, I'm loving on my Jesus. He is so good to us. So I want to talk about that tonight. But let me tell you what this is about. What are we talking about, Ashley? What, 9 months or so ago? Is that what we're talking about? About 9 months we began this?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so.
Maybe 10.
All right, maybe 10.
January, yeah.
Yeah, it's January. Hallelujah. What if we've left 2016? And so about 9 or 10 months ago, God told me, go and teach my people to know me. Go and tell them about the kind of Christian I created and the kind of Christian that I'm running with, and let them know that there are stages and levels and developments of and strata of Christianity. He sent me to talk about apostolic Christians. Why did he send me to do that? Because we've been hammering this thing and plowing this ground for so very long, and we couldn't figure out what the issue was. So when God gave me the first book, ABCs of Apostleship 1, he said, the issue is not anything wrong with the apostles or what they've done. Of course, you're going to have excesses and unruliness. That just comes with the territory. But the thing is that you didn't know what it was like. You were breaking your neck trying to understand the apostle in your life. How did you, what were you going to become? Well, what happens when an apostle founds a work? What happens when apostles found churches? Well, they create something called apostolic Christians. And so then what I found out when I started was that I became an apostle. I went to meetings. I went to conferences. I read books. I studied. I researched. And I stood up there in my church and told them, bless God, we're apostles. Hey, 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 this is the way we're going. And you know what? Some of them went without me another way. And I said to God, what is it? He said, you were being an apostle, but you didn't convert your church from evangelicalism. And so as we go and got started, God began to talk to me about apostolic Christians. Well, what is an apostolic Christian? First of all, it is not Jesus only. Let's get clear on that. Not Jesus only, not Kojic, not Pentecost. It's not that. Apostolic Christian, is we are the primitive Christian. We are the principal, the primary Christian, the first Christians that ever were born. The first Christians to ever be born were apostolic. And let me say, so that I will not be accused of exclusivity, apostolic Christians means this: you were born again by the word of God. All Christians begin their Christianity apostolically. All of us, everyone. If you believe in that Bible, you believe in that New Testament. If you are an Old Testament, then you're a prophetic Christian. Just in case you wanted to know that. Because all of the Old Testament folks and writings were prophets, primarily prophets. Jesus made a big deal about it. He talked about the prophets all the time. He named people prophets that we didn't call prophets. So, but if you were born again by the Spirit of Christ, if you were born again by the resurrected Christ, if you were born again by the Word of God, you began your Christianity apostolically. You began as an apostolic Christian. So guess what we ought to do? If we're reviving the office of the apostle, then we must populate it with something. We must populate it with people, sheep after our own kind. And that is what these Tuesdays have been for us for the last 10 months or so. I have no idea how long we're going to do this. I don't even, I mentioned it to God, and he kind of snubs the questions like, oh, And so I don't get into that. But what I do want you to know is that those are the Christians that turned the world upside down. And those are the Christians who bore the heat of day, who took the blows. Those are the Christians who were born again to a deity that never existed before. There was no place in the pantheon for a person named Jesus Christ. There was none. There was no place in the pantheon, no name, not on the Greek, the Olympus, not on the ancient primitive gods of the Old Testament. That did not exist. There was nothing, no such thing in the planet called a Christian. None. None at all. None. There were all of the polytheistic gods and all of the ancient pantheons and their various reformations and their various reinventions over time as they migrated from region to region. But there was no Christian. So you had the folk of Diana. You had the Dianans. You had the Baalans. You had the Mardukans. You had the Apollos. You had all of that, but you did not have a Jesus Christ, and you did not have a Christian. And Jesus Christ came, and he did the unthinkable. Is this all right? I'm jumping in with you all tonight because the fire of God is so on me. I was coming into the studio and I was bumping into the anointing on me. I was like, oh, all right, that's my anointing. Right, got it. Okay. And so, but Jesus Christ did the unthinkable. He took a polytheistic world with genealogical deities and genealogical worshipers of deities because it is the God of the mothers and the God of the fathers. And he turned it into a mainly monotheistic planet, largely monotheistic. He became the god of the planet, not just the god of a land. Oh, what a good God we serve. Yes, he did. They can talk to me all day long about Christians, all day long. Before there was Christians, there was ugly. Read your history. You all went to college. Y'all got degrees. Y'all knew what those other religions were doing. I like the what is the thing that what's his name? Mel Gibson made. What was that movie he made, Apocalypto? Was that him?
Was about the Mayans.
Was that it, the silent movie?
Yeah.
And you know what? Did you see all of that? That was life on earth before Jesus Christ. Don't let them tell you about us being mean or anything like that. That is a lie. It was an ugly world. And all those kings were cruel, and all of those tribal chieftains were cruel and mean and hateful and all of that. And nobody had a place. Babies were left under trees to be eaten by animals, and old people were killed. Why do you think Paul talked about the law being for the murderer of the mother and the murderer of the father? When the old folks got old, they killed them. So, no, you got to blend this thing with truth and reality. And they're playing. They're trying to restart this reel again, but this is a rerun. It won't run over me. And we're going to walk this thing point by point. We're going to cover this ground because I, as an apostle, have a duty to equip you and to arm you. Many of you are equipped for ministry and unarmed for a confrontation. That's how those laws got passed, because you didn't understand. We got Christians right now talking about, no, but that ain't God, and you should just love them and whatever. Nobody talking about love. We're talking about judgment. Do you realize when a judge sent a criminal to jail, he doesn't say, I've fallen out of love with you? He said, I sentence you. You have committed a crime against the land. There are crimes against society. There are crimes against community. There are crimes against people's well-being. And those crimes show themselves in disaster and in atrocities and in separations and severances and all of that. And we're walking this thing. And we're walking it. And I don't care if they talk about the Bible, because if you're talking about the Bible, we're going to talk about the Vedas. We're going to talk about that other book, the Quran. We're going to talk about all books, or we're going to talk about no books. Because the day of the punk Christian is over. Thank God. And it's the will of God that the day of the punk Christian is over. Write it down. The day of the punk Christian is over. We're not going to have any more sitting on the television talking about there are more homosexual Christians than us. You're a lie. Not out of 2 billion Christians. You cannot tell me that. We're stopping that. The day of the punk Christian is over. We're going to answer with grace, but we're going to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And we're going to answer with words of wisdom. You know, Proverbs says that when you learn wisdom, you can answer with words of truth those who come to you. We can't answer these questions, and we're walking around crying. I know it's wrong. It doesn't feel right in my spirit. Don't worry about it. Hang with me. We're going to get it from your spirit to your head. You're going to love, but you're going to have a spiritual function, and you're going to have mental function. Hallelujah. Yes, we are. Hallelujah. So I want to say, before I go any further, I didn't do it last week, but I want to do it. Let's have some roll call so I can jump right on into this thing, because it's going to be good tonight. I already gave you a taste, so you know it's going to be great. Roll call.
All right.
Facebook.
I had to reboot Facebook.
Okay.
But I know the Browns.
The, boom.
Are online.
Yay.
Port Huron, Michigan. Ocean City, Louisiana. Gainesville, Florida. Joffrey from Trinidad.
Yay. That's a new one, right?
Yes, as far as I can tell.
Yes.
All right. New Jersey is also in the house. Buffalo, New York, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Our very own backyard. Okay, they're logging back on.
All right. Live on for me, Facebook. Come on, Periscope.
Right. We have Australia.
Hey, Australia.
Indiana.
Yes.
Pennsylvania. Joliet, Dallas, Texas. New Jersey. Portland, Oregon. Houston, Texas. We have Easton, Pennsylvania. Montreal, Canada.
Yes.
All right. Kentucky's in the house. Hampton, Connecticut.
Yes.
Charlotte.
Yes.
Ohio.
Ohio.
Somebody's a first timer from Ohio.
Welcome aboard, my first timers.
We have Shelburne, Canada.
Woo, that's really good. I've read about that.
Miami, Florida.
Yes.
Seattle, Washington.
Oh, well, you know Miami. Now, you know Florida's our stomp stomp anyway.
Detroit.
Seattle. Now, we did. Haven't we been to Seattle?
Portland.
Okay, well, we were close. We'll be there next time, Seattle.
North Carolina.
Hey, North Carolina. Look at the
Los Angeles, California.
Coast to coast.
Bridgeport, Connecticut.
See, coast to coast.
Ah.
Isn't God good? All right. What else do we have? Did you get any more?
I'm still looking back on.
All right. Well, for all of you who are logging on, welcome. We thank God for you. We ask God to continue to bless you. And thank you for continuing to stay with us. I promise you, you will find it exciting. So here's what I've been doing. We've been teaching ABCs of Apostleship, Discipling Apostolic Christians. Why are we discipling apostolic Christians? Because to that group of Christians, the word of God and the revelation of Jesus Christ came first. They got the message of grace and salvation and all of that. The first with the Jews, and then Paul was raised up to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And that is a whole different thing for us that we should learn about. Paul was, because the word of Peter was sent to the Jews and Paul to the Gentiles. And when you read the things that God gave him and you read how God so always planned to have us, many people don't realize that the Gentiles go all the way back to Abraham as well. Because God said to Abraham, in you, all nations will be blessed, all peoples. So Abraham was made the father of many nations. That's powerful. And he was fused into the eternal because he was his priest, his mediator on the earth was Melchizedek, not Levi. See, we have to know our stuff. So when they start talking, that kind of crazy. And let me tell you something that you need to know. Everybody listening to me right now, I need you to listen to me because it's very important. The Bible was written for Jesus Christ. It wasn't written for culture. It wasn't written for religion. God has no religion. God has redemption. And the Bible is a book of redemption and the plan of redemption through Jesus Christ. The Old Testament tracked the seed of Jesus from Adam all the way down. That's why those genealogies are in Scripture. They're not there to bore you so that you never get to the good stuff. Because, you know, we all think that. You know, so-and-so begot, that's too long, I'm done. Thank you, Lord, I'm glad the Bible, that's why I read my Bible, John, go sleep. The Bible tracks Jesus Christ. It is about the Son of the living God. It's not about the Christian church. It's about the Son of God that founded the church. I want you to hear me because we are trying to answer the wrong questions. And the one thing that I don't want us to do anymore is to fight their fight. We need to stand on our faith and our salvation. You need to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, and unless a man is born from above, born of water and the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Outsiders can't tell you what's inside the kingdom of God any more than those outsiders could tell Israel what was under that tent. God purposely made that tent look so unappealing, look badger skin, all gray, blue, looking and carrying on. All right, was not nothing revealed the glory that was under that tent. And the same thing goes for Christianity. Nothing can reveal the glory that will be revealed in us, that's buried in us. You have to think differently. Apostolic Christians don't think culture. They think Christ. They don't think race. They think grace. You need to be very, very clear that we don't have to prove anything to them except Jesus came, that he died on the cross, he rose from the dead for their sins, and that Acts 4:12 commands that all men must be saved. Everything about Scripture is not about whether or not it's a history book. It is not a history book. It's a book that has some history in it. We need to get clear. The book is not an analytical book, but it has some analyses in it. It's not a geography book, but it has geography in it. See, we don't get caught up in their games, those nitpicking, hair-splitting nonsense. Don't do that. Stand in your place and stand on your perch, and let's do what God gave us to do. Because right now we got a great victory. God has given us a victory and a window. I want you to understand that the enemy is fighting mad because he did not know God was on blindside him. And God blindsided him and blew him out the water, and he's hot about it. So don't get stunned because folks act ugly. These people did not expect the fact. You know what I think is funny? Asking them, thank you, Jesus. All right, there we go. That's enough. Just on Jesus. Do you know what I think is amazing? Tyler and I were talking about this today. You know, Chief, you know, she go deep on you. Chief, go deep. No, she didn't restart my device. Don't do that. No.
Someone said they were waiting for you to hit that desk.
I was ready, too. Boom. But, you know, they're still all of this fussing. They're dogging us, all right? Dogging Christians. But guess what? We won. And people always dog a winner.
Absolutely.
That's just what you do. Nobody cares. So you can talk about how much you hate it. You can talk about all of that. But my God blindsided your God. We can sing Our God Reigns.
All right.
You know, he blindsided him. And nobody expected that. There were all the statistics in the world cannot answer. So if you can't answer with things on earth, you might need to look at things from heaven. So don't walk around here feeling like, oh, boy, we're a Christian. They say we don't love. They don't love us. Trust me, they ain't talking about love. What they want us to do is suck up the mess. They don't love us. They can't love us because they don't have the love of Christ on the inside of us.
Right.
We only love people because Christ shed his love in our heart. He shed his love abroad in our heart. Loving folk, true love, lusting something else. But truly loving your neighbor can't happen without the Holy Ghost. The great commandment says, first love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then you love your neighbor with the perfected love of God and Jesus Christ in you. You can't start at loving your neighbor and bashing our God. You can't do that. As far as I'm concerned, and I will say this and go on record, a non-Christian cannot tell me about Christianity. I don't play football. I could just say I like it. It's going to take a football player to tell me about football. It's going to take a basketball player to tell me about basketball. It's going to take a scientist to tell me about science. As a matter of fact, we believe that you do not have somebody who has never studied and learned science or been in science teaching your children. So as far as I'm concerned, you cannot talk to me about Christianity. You can tell me your issues. You can lay your complaint. You can fuss. You can scream. You can do all that you've been doing. But you cannot explain Christianity to the world because you're not a Christian. And you, believers, you Christians need to stop giving credence to their nonsense. Stop that. Stop listening to them like they got an answer. They don't have answers. You can't talk about Christ without Christ. Now, you think about how many people you trust who talk about you and never met you. Do you really trust their judgment? Do you really trust their assessment? What you talk about, and you tell me, that's just what you think. That's your opinion. You better know because you don't know me. You can't even have a valid opinion. It can't be substantiated, corroborated, nothing. You don't know him. You cannot know Jesus Christ outside of the Holy Ghost. And if they don't have the Holy Ghost on the inside, they are under conviction. And anybody under conviction complains and whines. That's what they do. Is that the truth or not? So you're sitting here talking about you're going to write just because you got a pen in hand doesn't mean you got truth in heart.
Amen.
Pen in hand does not mean truth in heart. Anger does not mean accuracy. And frustration do not guarantee facts. So we need to be clear, saints, and we need to stop being pumped. You know, I remember for years people started talking about, yeah, you know, them those people there, they know God. And I would talk to them like, y'all don't know God at all. I'm thinking, I'll be all disappointed. I'm ready. I'm geared up. And that's what God kept showing me in John 3. He said, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And if you're not born again, you can't enter it. And if you're not in it, you can't speak to it. The kingdom of men has to gain the same permission we do to enter the kingdom of God. And we need to get clear on that. You need to stop believing that and listening to that. You cannot tell somebody who is living. Can you imagine somebody who just robbed you and plundered your house and thumped through your side, left you for dead, standing up there talking about you need to give them the right to do it again? Who does that? Nobody. And that's what Jesus feels. I'm not going to give you the right to do it again. And we're gonna have a blast. I want to tell you something else I'm doing. I am doing Sunday morning. What am I doing, Ashley?
Walking through the Bible with Dr. Paula Price, an apostolic and prophetic perspective.
Look at you. You almost get an A, girl.
You didn't have to read it.
I was proud of you, girl. I'm gonna walk through this Bible. And you know why? Because we need to give an answer to the gates of hell. We need to give an answer to the lost and confused or abused. We need to give an answer, and we need to be intelligent. The reason that I read an article when I was researching how prayer got put out of school, I read the article. You know, I was reading all these articles, and I read about Madeleine O'Hare and all of this stuff. And I looked at those articles, and then I said, I can't believe that worked. I can't believe that worked. I can't. I said, and that worked? They talked about, they brought all of these preachers in to ask them all of these questions so that the academics, et cetera, would happen and people would get those answers. Of course, I'm paraphrasing. And they gave them no answer. See, that's what you get for lifting your doctrine out of context. Because then it can be manipulated any old way we want to manipulate it. I mean, the Bible as it is, Paul had to say the law was good if you use it lawfully, which means unlawfully is dangerous. So we have to start answering questions. You're going to have to start giving answers, and answers that are not just, well, the Bible said it. Come on, people. Nobody, they're already beating you with your Bible because they know you don't read it. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show up with my Bible. I don't have my blue one up here. I'm showing up with all my stickies and my tapes and my highlights and my lowlights and my greens and my blues, my little script on the side. Yes, I am, because I'm going to open it right in front of them and let them know, I read this thing. I didn't just read it. I ate it. So let's talk. Let's talk about what God had in mind. Because you cannot be close to a person and be unable to speak what they think and feel. And I want us to learn to do that. We are apostolic Christians. They're smart. All of them were smart. Those were smart people. They were cunning. Their lives were on the line all the time. They were always at risk for something. They had to have special guards to guard them for services. We got places on the planet right now. The Bible is not as dated as they want us to believe. But folks still fighting Christians, how dated is that? We got a whole, what was it, the Indian churches are being slaughtered. That's Bible. That's epic. That's Bible. That's biblical. the other place in the Middle East, Iraq, wiping out Christians, that's biblical. Iraq, Babylon, that's biblical. Anybody hearing me? So how outdated, you listening to them tell you. No, they're saying it's outdated because they don't want to live holy. Righteousness precedes sin. Holiness comes before profanity. See, we have to put things in perspective and in context. Boy, am I talking tonight? Let me, I got to hit something just on GP. Are they following with me?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You follow with me, Periscope?
I don't know when you're
going to
start Sunday.
Probably 2 weeks. It's going to be early, guys, because I'm not going to bump your churches. Hallelujah. So, here's what we're doing. We're going to talk about the gates of hell. So I'm going to go. I got wait a minute. I have to plug up stuff. I can look at me all independent. I'm impressed with me. I'm independent. Push the button. Wait a minute, hold on, because you know, last time I was independent, nothing worked. Betsy? <There you go. laughs> Learning from your mistakes. I want to talk to you. Hallelujah. About the gates of hell. And I want you to understand that Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against this church. Now, when he made that statement, he wasn't talking about buildings and land. That's part of it. He was talking about Christianity in people. At that point, Christianity hadn't been born to get a name. The first Christians were not a church. They were not a religion. They were not a religion. They were not a religion. The first Christians were not a religion. They were redeemed citizens of the kingdom of Christ. They were offspring of the Godhead who had inherited eternal life. It's important that you understand that. See, there was no religion. There was a community. We became a nation. They became citizens of the nation of Jesus Christ. Before Christ birthed the church, he birthed a nation. And they became the body of Christ, the ecclesia. And the ecclesia that God had was not based on our church today or the Christianity we have today that has become a world religion. Christianity was never a world religion. I have shown you over and over again, Christianity was not born on earth. It was brought to earth. The Holy Ghost defines Christians and Christianity. And the Holy Spirit brought us to the planet. Oh, am I? Come on, somebody. Can I go there? Ask me, I'm there. You cannot stop me because I am on a roll. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, I'm getting my book. You know, I love doing this. Unit 6, I want to read this for a moment, and then we'll get to the next gate. Christianity was brought, but based on Hebrews 12:24, and I think 24 through 26, you need to write it down. Christianity was brought from heaven to earth the day the Holy Spirit baptized the 120 in the upper room. He did not start a religion. He baptized 120 people who were the remnant in the upper room from the Jesus Christ crucifixion. And in that room with them were the apostles who he had taught about his crucifixion. So he baptized, see Luke 24:49 and Acts 1:13. He arrived, he, the Holy Spirit, arrived on earth his arrival on earth, that Pentecost, did more than just instill his presence in Christian beings. It also installed the Creator's eternity in our world. Up until then, death reigned, Romans 5:12-14. Death reigned from Adam to Moses. Nothing restrained it. And Moses' restraint came from the Ten Commandments, the law of God and the establishment of Israel as a nation for the Lord Jesus, for the God of heaven, but the Lord Jesus Christ, because Yahweh is Jesus. Our eternal beings make Christianity, as the Godhead designed and implemented it, sound way too sci-fi to be trusted, let alone embraced. Yet it is precisely what it is, and it does and it is why it does exactly what it implies. Heaven came to earth within the body of a human being called the Son of God, the second member of the Godhead. And through that human being, it is invisibly populating itself the same way. The Holy Ghost, not us. Because, see, when we stop evangelizing, the Holy Ghost just starts showing up with angels and Jesus and everybody just going and do it. The Holy Spirit of God, the third member of the Godhead, the one that hovered over the water before God started recreating the earth. It said the Holy Ghost brooded on the water. It hovered, but it said it brooded over there other terms. But the bottom line is that everything that God would make in creation, oh, help me, Jesus, my God, I'm just excited. I'm excited. Lord, I got that answer. I'm excited. And you know why? Because the Holy Ghost, everything that made God's word manifest was in the Holy Spirit, and he inseminated the planet with all creation, all the animals, all the vegetation, all of the creatures, everything, which is why the chickens and the birds came out of the water and not out of the air. The Holy Ghost. That same Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. Hey, y'all out there, Periscope, you getting me? Facebook, you getting me? Come on, I need y'all to work with me here because I am on fire. I'm telling you, that same Holy Ghost that brought all of the stuff of creation in Genesis 1, when it said in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Oh, help me, God, I'm going crazy. That same Holy Ghost brought the Christian to earth. Tell me you understand Christianity. That's why you have to be born from above. Yes, it's good. Yeah, I am crazy tonight. I'll be tamed by Thursday. But I'm going to go there tonight. You cannot tell me about my sugar. That is my honey man. I know Jesus the Christ. And it said, God said, let there be. And the Holy Ghost said, okay, drop that. Okay, and God said, let there be. And the Holy Ghost said, drop that. And then God said, let there be in the waters. And the Holy Ghost said, drop that. And then he said, let there be on the ground. And the Holy Ghost said, drop that. I want you to understand, this thing here, they know nothing. They know nothing because you have to be in it to see it, to hear it. You have to hear it to believe it, but you got to be in it to hear it. Lend your ear. So here we have Genesis 1. Oh, my God, I'm so, let me drink some water. Maybe I can cool down. Maybe I calm down. I drink water. I don't know. Genesis 1, the Holy Ghost is brooding on the water, and he's creating with the word, and the word is creating at the Father's will. So we have the whole Godhead talk about let there be. One saying, I want, the other says, do it, and the third one says, done. Then we go all the way over to John, and it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh. Why? Because the Holy Spirit hovered over a woman and dropped that. Dropped God in the womb. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Then we turn around and say, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then we go all the way down, hallelujah, and we got Jesus resurrecting from the dead, come back, 40-day crash course, yeah, 40-day crash course, and who's teaching beside him? The Holy Ghost. Wait, you haven't come yet. What are you doing here? I'm telling you this out of my head. I got a picture on the screen. You see what I got up there? So the Holy Ghost Pentecost has not come, but the Holy Ghost is teaching the apostles with Jesus. Now we got both of them saying this because Jesus is about to leave, so he's passing the office. Boom. This one wasn't for me, guys. This one was for those two. The camera folk want to.
I know, but I need it.
So the Holy Ghost, to show you how God is, Jesus, come on, somebody, help me, Lord, this God of ours. Don't mess with me, this man. He's a sugar pie, honey man. So the Holy Spirit is in the classroom for 40 days with Jesus teaching. Well, Dr. Franz, I'm not sure because he could have been. No. Jesus had to tell him about the Holy Ghost because he taught by himself. He didn't teach by the Spirit. He's God himself. He didn't need the Holy Ghost to help him teach. But he's getting ready to leave. And he's passing the torch. He's passing the office of salvation and redeemer to the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost comes and meets the apostles. I'm done. I know. ABCs of apostleship. The Holy Ghost comes to meet the apostles. Jesus has already told them to expect him, told them what he's going to do. So their first class, their last class with Jesus is their first class with the Holy Ghost. Come on and hit it. I'll let you hit it. Hit it. I know that's right. I know that's right. And he still hasn't had Pentecost. And then Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued, not endowed, endued with power from on high. So there they are tiring. Huh. Is anybody out there with me? Because I'm about to fly in this place today. I'm telling you, God is a sugar pie Jesus. I know you stuck on the Holy Ghost. I know you can't even move. If you all could see her, she is frozen in time. Because we blow the Bible off, we don't get the answers we need. So the Holy Spirit is in class 40 days, 40 nights with 11 apostles, not even 12. Matthias doesn't come until Jesus is gone. 11 apostles and not 12. So Matthias was never in any of their classes. He was a second generation apostle. And he wasn't picked by Jesus directly. He was picked by Jesus by lot. Because there was two options. Now, Paul, God wanted to let us know, I call whom I call the way I want. And Jesus Christ decided to break the Holy Ghost barrier that he hides behind, that conceals him. And he materialized on the road and said, knocked him off the horse. Paul, Paul, why persecutest thou me? He let him know, boy, you're wasting your time. You know, why are you kicking against the goats? Why are you doing this again? Yes, pray. You can't win this. And he said, he blinds him. And he blinds him because he's blindly assaulting his maker's work. Oh, yeah. Don't tell me you cannot talk to me about Jesus. You got to be a Christian to do this. You got to be a Christian to even understand it. You've got to be in this. You cannot talk about this based on how it affects you and you're not liking it and you're opting out. Opt-outs can't talk about those who are in. You've opted out of our faith. You've opted out of our God. We want you in if you want to come, but you're not going to tell us that we're wrong. You're not going to tell me that. I ain't buying it. I'm sorry, I'm not buying it. I'm not that lady, and I ain't doing it. So here we go. Now we get to Pentecost. Now, what happened? Did the Holy Ghost go back home with Jesus Christ? He would have to. Steps on the cloud, which I'm convinced is covering a spaceship. And he steps on the cloud, and he is gone. And the two angels are on the ground. And nobody says, why are y'all here? Because they are the intermediaries between the Holy Spirit and God's church and its officers. And then Pentecost comes, and the Holy Ghost comes back. You understand, we are not Christians because we sign our name on the roll. We're not Christians because we go to church and do nice things. We are not Christians because we talk about Jesus Christ. We are Christians because this man put himself in us to make sure that he can get us out of here on time in the right place. We're Christians by the Holy Ghost. And people who are fighting about this whole thing, Christians who are holding up homosexuality, they're doing it because they're not saved. Yes, I said it. You can't be saved and defy your God's handiwork. That's an impossibility. They are not saved. They're churched, and we need to know the difference. Because we are born again from the incorruptible seed of God. We're born from above. From God above. We are born from the precious gene pool of the Almighty God. We are not just born from his handiwork. We're not just born from his breath. We're born from his being. We're born the way Jesus was born, from his very being, not just his breath and not just his word. So stop getting on Facebook being stunned about all of the Christians holding up this case or that case. Saved folk love Jesus Christ. Saved folk will not support this. I don't care what you say. And they can't do it, not even if they want to. Everybody who's really saved can talk to you about one, trying to change your mind, and God gripped it. Trying to grip your heart. You can't even, whatever. Because God is on the inside. And people who have him still on the outside, they can fight him. But when he's on the inside, you can't fight him. You just can't. Because God is just Almighty God. As a matter of fact, even unsaved folk can't find him because, well, let's look in November. God got his way. He's got his way. Now, we can sit there and you can talk all of the crazies we want to talk. We can say all of the things we want to say. Bottom line, God got his way. Now, how did he get his way? Now, that's what folk ought to ask. We've got to be able to defend our God. Well, did you like the gates of hell? Well, you're going to love the gates of heaven. See, they're turning it slowly, so y'all not catching it all. But anyway, did you catch it? That was doing it again. So isn't that nice? I decided to have a couple of loops, so because I know it takes us a little while to get caught up with each other. But the gates of heaven, it says the gates of hell will not prevail. Christians are meant to guard kingdom of heaven on earth. That is our job, and this is all about the training. God intends his children guard his earthly residence. We're supposed to guard this for God. We're supposed to make sure that the vessels he inhabits are protected, the lands that he takes and occupies are protected, and the people, citizens are protected, that the leaders are covered and protected, and that the church is doing its job spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ and discipling leaders and nations to the Lord. The kingdom of heaven versus the kingdom of God, this is a whole excerpt. The mortal side of the redeemed lives on earth. The eternal side of the redeemed lives in the kingdom of heaven. Where is the kingdom of heaven? In the Holy Ghost. Where is the Holy Ghost? In the planet. And where else is he? All over creation. The minute God pulls his spirit back, things die. Two things happen when the Holy Ghost is not present. Things die and power goes. When you read in Revelation about the beast kingdom being plunged in darkness, that should say a lot. Because heaven took its utility, it took its energy system, it took its power source back. Because he got what he wanted out of the planet. Isn't that our God? He got just what he wanted. In did I do this correctly? I want to make sure I did it right because, you know, okay, I did. I just want to make sure I did it right. All right. In preparation for their eternal residence and responsibilities, and to prove their loyalty and conviction, God left his divine offspring to guard and keep the earthly version of his heavenly realm. You are in the planet to prove to God that you deserve eternal life and not eternal doom. You are in the planet to prove that. you are in the planet to make sure that God, that people know who the real God is and why he is God and that he is the good God. That is your job. That is our job as Christians. God never left a Christian in the planet to uphold sin. There's not one Christian that has a duty, not a Christian, a church in maybe, but not a Christian. There's not one Christian authorized by God to uphold sin. Not one. I know. Don't you like hearing it like that? Because isn't that how it goes? So you're defending it because your son or your daughter is this, so you feel like you got to defend it. Mercy was never given to uphold sin. And mercy for God and mercy for humans, two different things. The mercy God wants you on human is meant for you not to take on God's authority to judge people in a way that they ought not to be judged. God's mercy, he said, God's mercy is his prerogative. People hear me. He said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. You cannot invoke God's mercy on sin. You don't have a right. You don't have the authority. And if you decide that is what you want to do, then you have become his adversary, which means you have changed sides. You have changed God. Because the God you defend is the God you want to win. And you have changed your God. And you changed it by still sitting in his place, standing in his pulpit. You've done that. Because there is nothing, no scripture, not one, says that we are to uphold sin. Not one. Now, there are scriptures that say, you know, we need to be merciful to whatever while God is moving. But it didn't say let sin move in. Didn't say that. Never said it. Never said it. Do you realize that the entire homosexual agenda plans to rewrite your Bible? They already got they got another Bible written for you. How about the Goddess Bible? Can you imagine the Goddess Bible? I like that one. I'm like, well, that's a dumb goddess. Because let me tell you something. God made himself a man so he can populate like crazy. A woman can't populate like that. You're going to take 9 months to have a baby, period, or nine. Or 10, but it's still going to take you 9 months. And that 9 months, a man can make so many kids, it's embarrassing. Just the science of it all means that God, anybody who wants to be around forever and to be on top would not make themselves have to reproduce at such a slow rate. That's why I know he ain't a she. Men sperm, they are old, decrepit, they die, ready to walk out the planet. Sperm's still gonna make a baby. Us, our eggs die. And they're done, which means that's guaranteed obsolescence. What deity would do that and call themselves King of Kings and Lord of Lords and God of all? See, I didn't even go Bible on you. I just talked common sense. You need to be able to answer. Because when they tell me, I said, she sure didn't want to be around much, is she? So she would make a particular species that literally can reproduce better than she can. Right, got that. Stronger, built differently. I just thought that'd be interesting. Didn't you think that was interesting? I thought it was interesting. Yeah, it's the truth. What would you say? If I was going to build myself, I'm going to build myself for the most durability, for the most pervasiveness, the most population. I'm going to give myself every edge. I am not going to give myself something that's going to cause me to actually cease to exist one day. You put eggs in the ground and you put a seed in the ground, ask me what comes. Eggs going to rot, seeds going to spawn. That's right. So how you going to tell me? I understand this. This is why I said you must be born again. Because some of y'all Christians are saying, well, you know, he could have been. No, he couldn't have been. If God was a female, we couldn't have a church. We're still trying to get her up to speed. One baby at a time, 9 months. Even if 9 months was 900 years, one baby at a time. Holy Ghost couldn't have done that. The Holy Ghost came with spores, bunches of them. And in those forms were your spirit, your new creation, eternal spirit. Folks, I'm telling you, I want us to win, but I want my honeyman to win. I want Jesus, the Messiah, to take it back and take it all. He deserves it. He gave his life for this thing. He got on that cross. He could have been like any other sovereign and said, I don't know what to tell y'all, bad enough, out with the old, in with the new. He could have decided to trash it with Adam. He chose not to. He then could turn around and have decided to trash Israel with Moses. He chose not to. He had a whole lot of reasons to chuck it in, but he's a faithful creator, and he's faithful to his creation. And God's going to see this thing through to the end. He needs you to stop thinking he's the lesser God. He needs you to learn him enough to defend him. I don't know about anybody else, Ashley, but I tell you what, when God started sharing that with me, I just got blown away. I'm in love with him, but I'm in love with his people. I'm in love with the church. You know why? Because it's his work. Even if I don't understand it, there may be a lot of things for us not to like. But when you love somebody, you love everything that they love. You love everything that they cherish. You protect it. You got, some of y'all got spouses with T-shirts and sweatshirts that you're trying to get rid of and trying to get rid of that thing for 99 years. But you love them enough to tolerate it. And every time they put it on, you get sick and you want to scratch like on a board. But you know what? You love them, and they love the shirt. So you love the shirt because they do. And that's how we need to think about God and stop bashing his church and talking about it doesn't need to go. If you really love him, you do not want this man's work to fail, and you don't want his labor to be in vain if you really love him. Well, Ashley told me I had how many minutes?
You have a couple. You want to talk about Monday's webinar?
Monday's, you talk about Monday's webinar. I'm going to drink some water. I'm going to hit stuff and everything. I'm a bruh. Come on, baby.
That's right. Today, Dr. Price is doing her new series on breaking the, wait a minute, let me get it right.
Decoding.
Thank you. Decoding the mystery. No. On dating and marriage.
Controversy.
I need too many titles. Decoding the controversy of dating and marriage.
Yes.
Part one. 8 p.m. It's $19.99, and we are moving full speed ahead with Dr. Price's weekly webinar.
Yes, we are doing weekly webinars. And then in a couple of weeks, we'll have Walking Through the Bible. I'm going to give you my 30 years.
Oh, that's free. That's yours.
That's free. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's free. 30 years. Sunday's free. We're just going to do Bible. We're not going to do all that other stuff, just Bible. Hallelujah. So Monday, and then don't forget, Thursday, we're going to take it on.
It's Paula Price.
Yes, we are. We're going to do this thing, and we're going to equip you. I don't really care about refuting those people. That's your job. You all are out there in the trenches. I care about equipping you. And because, see, I told this girl, she gets me, boy. But anyway, to equip you to stand and defend your gospel and to believe and listen, take pride in your salvation. Right now, most Christians are like embarrassed to be Christians. What is that all about? Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me in this wicked generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of you before his Father and the holy angels. What does that mean? That means that he's going to tell his Father, don't even go out of your way. Let's just keep it as normal and don't keep the angels. And tell the angels, hey, just let them go their way. You don't want that. Don't be ashamed of your God. Let's learn him. And the more you learn about him, the more you know him, I promise you, the more you'll love him. Until Thursday morning at 11 o'clock Central Time, have a great week. I love you all dearly. If you were blessed tonight, sow a seed, drpaulaprice.com. Also, when you go, download some stuff. I have a lot of material there for you. Until Thursday, good night.